Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
Kaboom. It's the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave. Hey, everybody. So, last week, we really tried to talk about time travel.
Yeah, we tried to.
It got away from us.
Hey, ironically.
Where does the time go?
Yeah, that's ironic. The time
good question.
Got away from
it
us.
It went to this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last week ironically, we were consumed by the Whopperito as opposed to the other way around. And also, it was recording the wee hours after a couple of them adult pops.
Yeah, that was our first time recording late at night, too, so that may have had something to do with it.
Yeah, we got a little weird on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But hey. We're back this week, and we promise
we're going to focus.
Time travel is going to happen. There's still going to be some bullshit before we get to it, because it wouldn't be the Boogie Monster without it. But I'll be damned if we're not going to talk about traveling through that fabric of what exists. What could, you know what I'm saying?
There you go, good one.
Yep. All right, man. What's happening with you? You got?
I had a good week.
Yeah.
Just nothing too crazy. I did want to tell you about I'm suffering with a condition.
Yeah.
I seems that I've got a pretty severe case of puppy fever.
Got that puppy fever, man. I get it.
Dude, I got
you
dog
should
fever.
Explain that it's literally you want to have a dog cuz like there's puppy play in the gay community and you wear masks and you put butt plugs that are shaped like dog tails.
That sounds made up.
No, it's not. So that's what I'm just saying.
Oh.
I mean, like puppy fever, it could be construed.
Well, I didn't know I had to specify.
Well, just to clarify for the listeners, it's a real thing where you get little hooves.
Huh.
Hooves paws. You get little paws. You've done shows at Pleasure Chest out here.
Yeah, but I didn't see any.
There's a comedy show at a sex store called the Pleasure Chest on Santa Monica Boulevard. That's the thing. You go in there, and right by where the show is, it's like all the novelty, like dick straws and fun pasties. And, oh, these gummy bears have big dicks or whatever. I don't think that's out there. That'd be funny. What if gummy bears just had little dicks on them? But you didn't tell them they were just the regular brand gummy bears. And it just somebody at the factory is like, I'm giving these all little dicks.
I love that weird subliminal stuff.
How's my kid supposed to eat these little bears when they got dicks on them?
But what
I'm saying, go into that back room over there.
Yeah.
And oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That's scary.
It is. There's a lot of stuff. It's like a real showroom. There's a lot of. It's like a real, like chrome and leather fuck IKEA back there. There's so much. So many pieces of furniture that you wouldn't know where to sit on if you weren't already. If somebody didn't clue you in.
Yeah, that's
And
just
I think they have the mat. Like, you wear a dog mask and little. A paw slippers and a thing in your butt.
It just seems like a lot of effort.
You could pick which breed of dog to the tail and the face will match. That's what I always wondered if people would get like upset if like, oh, that's a Doberman face, but this is clearly a tail of a Chihuahua.
This is a whole new world.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Not to demean the fact that you were just honestly, you'd like to have an actual dog.
Yeah, I was just talking about. Fuck. Yeah, no. I want a dog. I mean, I want 10 dogs.
I get it, man.
I want 10 dogs and 10 cats and a couple of pigs.
I think, well, that sounds like you really just want to settle down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do want livestock.
You
want
to get that?
I seriously, like if I ever have land, like meaning just a backyard, I'm going to have a couple of goats or pigs or something back there. Why not?
All right.
Just to hang out with.
Man, there's other animals that are better to hang out with.
I'll hang out with all of them. What's wrong with a pig or a goat?
There's
see, a little baby goat, those little pygmy goats? That'd be cool. Just have a little pygmy goat
pigs,
running around.
Like, oh, those little tiny pigs seem great. Goats, you ever seen a goat shit? It's so, like, it's all little pebbles, but they come out in a giant. It's like somebody just, like, picked open a shotgun shell, and all of it just falls out of its ass.
Wow.
It's they're friendly. Well, the one case where I was hanging out with goats, they were nice.
Huh.
But they got them devil eyes, man.
That one case when you're hanging out with goats, explain that.
I was it was years ago with a woman I used to date whose friends had a ranch up north in Northern California. And they had goats, and you just go sit on a rock, and the goats would come by and be like, "What's up?" And then all the goats would just do the same thing as whatever the main goat.
Oh, yeah?
It's like, "Oh, we're hanging out with this guy? All right, let's hang out with this guy." And then all of a sudden, you're just surrounded by goats. You're like, "Yeah, you guys are all right." Until your giant box of Cocoa Puffs gets shaken out of your backside.
I remember that picture you showed me, what, about a year ago when you went and played with the otters?
Man.
That was pretty cool.
That was... I can't think of like what has brought me more unadulterated glee than having otters run over. And they're little demons. Like, yeah. You could see it in their eyes. They just, it's like food and fucking. Like, that's their animals.
Yeah.
There's no effect. You can see in a dog's eyes or even a cat's eyes, even if it doesn't have effects. Like, a cat, when it's rubbing its head on you, it's just putting its scent on you to mark. But it's still like, it feels affectionate. And the otters, even though they run all over you, it's like, is there food anywhere in or on your person?
You said they were pulling open your mouth.
They reach in your mouth. They just straight, like, you're in, you get in a pool with them in your swimsuit, just grab your dick with their little tiny hands. Just straight up, like, what is this? Can I eat it? No, it's attached to this thing and move on. It's hilarious. Just a little otter grabbing your crank.
Oh, man. You were suffering with a bout of puppy fever not long ago. Man, How come you haven't pulled the trigger on that?
Because I wouldn't be fair to the dog. It wouldn't be fair to the dog. Like, what life am I going to give a dog? Like, all right, here, welcome to this apartment. Anyway, I'm going to be gone all the time.
You take him out in the Jeep? Y'all go four-wheeling? Have your little partner?
What? I don't want to be weekend dad to the dog.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. That's exactly why I don't have one yet. So.
Yeah, we know.
I gotta settle down, get my life together, and get some animals.
That dog walking website Rachel was talking about, what was it called?
Rover.
Rover,
yeah.
And you sign up, it's like Uber, but for dogs.
Yeah.
You just drive them around, hang out with them.
I might start doing that.
You do that, man. I understand it, though. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. They're out there. They look fun.
I've been rubbernecking. I'll be driving by. I used to rubberneck at ladies. You know, just, hey, look at her. And now I'm just doing that with dogs. Like, every dog. I'm just like, hey, look at that one.
Yeah, but you're just not waking up to your stuff all peed on.
Yeah, that's true. I used to have dogs and cats, but, not anymore. I gotta change that.
Listen, we make sacrifices for our art, Dave.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
I think maybe this is our, we're not having a biological clock of, like, having kids, but finally almost 40 is like, I really like to take care of something.
I think that's what it is. I think that's what
probably
it is.
Look after that. Probably handle that much.
My version of the biological clock ticking.
I get it, man.
Did you eat anything good this week?
What did I eat this week? I didn't do anything crazy. I didn't do anything.
No, I've been on a.
It's been boring. Like, it's been boring. I bought groceries. I had a spinach salad. Mm. Just trying to be better.
Really, you need me to cook something for you, Kyle?
No. I'm just. Sometimes you got to clean it out. I told you I took that psyllium husk, which that will blow up your whole asshole.
Really?
That stuff. Well, okay. The incident after the Waparito when I showed up at Rachel's house.
That was funny.
And
I saw the look in your eye.
You were driving. I was like telling you to like take it easy on the curves. Like, that's how much of just a Fabergé egg.
Yeah, that was a full blown emergency.
And I got to her house. I bought her a shake.
Yeah.
And she opened the door. She's like, "Oh, hey, how's your diet?" I'm like, "Take this bathroom time." And I just walked past. And she lives in a studio. Like, that's so unfair to her.
Yeah, you got to have a buffer.
My body is this. And then it's just, she just lives in just a room where I have to tell her to, like, hey, why don't you listen to some music?
Does she at least have a fart fan?
I have to do it like when people like are being investigated by the FBI in case there's bugs in the house. Like, turn on the stereo and then I can
cover your mouth while you talk.
We could have a talk. Yeah, we could chit chat.
You're like Joe Pesci and De Niro sitting on a park bench.
Yeah. I was like, turn up the TV real loud, then we can get this, get some business handled.
Does she at least have the fart fan in the bathroom?
She's just a patient woman.
You got to have some sort of
she's a good patient woman.
Auditory distraction. If I have to do that in a bathroom that doesn't have a fan, I'll just turn the water on. I'll just waste 40 gallons of water.
I'll live,
mm-hmm.
but the drought's real, Dave. Yeah. You got to take that seriously.
It's just, you know, when there's ladies involved, you got to...
Yeah, but she's... we've been together for a stretch. Not that I want to get so comfortable. Like, you can see, like, where guys like, oh, she loves it when I fart around her. It's like, yeah. No, you've just beaten her down enough to where she has to deal with it.
Oh, man.
I try to, like, I still don't want it to be a regular thing. I'll make jokes, like I'll still leave the room, at her house because there's no room to leave,
uh-huh.
but over here, and I'll like act like it was the refrigerator or something. So I'll just like, I'll leave the room and then just, had ice machine.
Ugh.
It's really, had ice machine needs a little oil.
Those Tennessee barking spiders.
Yeah. I was like, that microwave door, something about that microwave door doesn't sound right. That at least you make it fun. At least make a little game out of it.
Yeah.
But I don't. No need. I don't want to condition her to expect.
Yeah.
Like I know what I am. I know my capabilities, and I don't need to subject her to that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been with a lady where I was so comfortable to where that was just the norm. Like I was with a gal for 9 years, and I don't remember just sitting around casually ripping toots.
No,
you know
it's not. Yeah, it's gonna not be cute anymore.
Yeah,
it's gonna not be. That's why you got to keep them as a surprise, keep them fun.
Speaking of toots, I've been on an egg kick.
Speaking of toots,
yeah, I bought a
Speaking of which, remember that from last week?
Yeah, speaking of which, I splurged and I bought the 24 flat of eggs, the square.
Oh, the heart attack rack.
Yeah, the heart attack rack. got the 24, so I've just been eating a bunch of eggs. And dude,
2 a day, 3 a day.
Probably two. I'll eat two or three at a serving, and then you know, usually just one serving a day.
What you doing to them eggs,
man? I've got this new technique
tickling them eggs
that I've been perfecting, and I'm not going to take credit for it. I didn't invent this. I saw this on a cooking show or some cooking website, but it's a French technique of scrambled eggs.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. So let me explain this to you. You make scrambled eggs, right?
I think I even fucked those up. I kind of, you know what it is? I try to make fried eggs and then something goes wrong. I'm like, scrambled. And I just push the spatula around. Now you're like it's a punishment. See, yeah. You fucked it up. Now you're scrambled.
Yeah.
Little assholes.
It's hard to screw up scrambled eggs.
Trust me, buddy.
But it's even harder to make really good ones. All right. Here's what I do. This French technique. I've been doing it for.
My recipe that's like, it's hard to screw this up.
Yeah.
And then there's just a picture of me eating them off the floor. Like, I did it.
All right. Here's the French style, French technique of scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, get rid of your frying pan. Usually when you think scrambled eggs, or basically any eggs, you think frying pan. Put that aside.
Right on the floor.
Get you a good saucepan. Something you'd cook some soup or...
A sauce.
A stew, or maybe even a sauce.
Like a sauce.
Yeah, like a sauce. Let's call it a saucepan.
So what's the difference between a saucepan and just the other pans? Size or composition?
Both. Like, I don't know how to...
Saucepan's like a little pot, right?
Yeah, like a little pot, as opposed to just a more flat pan,
Get yourself a little pot.
Yeah, a deeper, like a little pot, saucepan. All right, you get that. All right, first of all... Get rid of the vegetable oil. Get rid of the spam. Not spam. Pam. The spray. Get rid
of
all
that.
Fuck off, Pam. Get out of here. Vegetable oil. Butter. All right? Butter. Always butter. With whatever you're cooking.
You're about to Paula Deen this whole thing, aren't you?
Always butter. All right. Here's what you do. Get your saucepan. Get you a good rubber spatula. Not a wooden spoon, not a metal spoon, not a scooping, you know, skillet style spatula. The nice rubber tipped.
I know what you're saying.
Kind of looks like a.
They can't see what you're doing with your hands.
Yeah,
right now, Dave.
Exactly.
Dave's making the shape of a rubber spatula.
Get you a nice saucepan, nice rubber spatula. Get you a pat of butter. Put that medium to low heat. All right. Get that going. When the butter starts to melt, take your eggs. Now, typically with scrambled eggs, you'd crack them into a bowl and then whisk them up.
Not me.
Right? Yeah, not you. But you don't have to do that with this technique. All right. Crack the eggs directly into the pan. Then you take that spatula and you just constant motion. Again, I'm making gestures.
You're making, yeah.
Describe what I'm doing. It
sounds like more effort than I would ever put towards scrambled eggs.
Right, well, I'm telling you, it's worth it. All right.
Scramble
it,
put the eggs in the thing and scramble them.
All right. Slow, steady motion, medium to low heat. But here's the, it takes a while. Literally it takes about 15 to 20 minutes to get these done because you're working on low heat. But then the other
recipe's taking 15 to 20 minutes.
The other technique,
to make goddamn scrambled eggs.
All right. Pan, spatula, butter, eggs directly into the pan, slow, steady stirring with that spatula. And while you're doing that, you want to go about 30 seconds with it on the eye.
Dave's
of the
making
stove.
A clockwise motion with his hand.
30 seconds on the stove. Still stirring, then 30 seconds off the stove, still stirring. 30 seconds on, this still is... stirring. So on, you want to on and off that heat. You want to manipulate that heat.
Is this French style because it's annoying as fuck? Is that why it's French?
Hey, I don't cut corners when it comes to food. All right? So my point is on and off the heat. The whole time, you never stop stirring. Steady, slow stir, but 30 seconds on the heat, 30 seconds off, back and forth, back and forth. It's going to take you about 10, 12, 15 minutes. And then right towards the end, here's the kicker. All right, this I didn't learn this on no video or show. This is a Dave special here.
Ingenuity.
Get you some French onion dip. Get you that little thing, a French onion dip, a little cold sour cream shit.
I get you, yeah.
When you're almost done, when those eggs are almost cooked, almost ready, right when you like them, how you like them, get you a nice scoop of that onion dip, throw that in there, and just kind of mix that all in there, get those eggs all incorporated with that onion dip.
Because you can put some dairy into egg. That's where I thought I was going to be webbed. Like, when I did try to cook some, I was like making eggs, and I'm like, oh, if you put a little milk or something, it makes them fluffier, but I didn't have any milk, so I put ranch dressing in it.
Ooh. That's a bold move.
Yeah, it was bold. It tasted like I put ranch dressing in some eggs. Mm-hmm.
But something about the French onion dip, the flavor of that really complements the eggs.
Is that why it's French?
Well, it doesn't hurt.
What was the French part? Is it just because...
The on and off of the heat.
French onion dip.
Yeah. And also, here's a tip. Put that salt in at the very last.
You put some French fries in there.
At the very end, you add your salt. Don't add your salt at the beginning because it toughens up the eggs. It makes the eggs a little more tough than they need to be. So,
okay.
To recap, I know it's a delicate process.
Yeah, let's go through this again.
Saucepan, spatula, butter, eggs, constant motion, on the heat, off the heat, on the heat, off the heat, French onion dip, boom. Best scrambled eggs I've ever had.
Put some sour cream and onion chips in there. If you like your scrambled eggs crunchy. That's something I would do. That's the problem. I watch Top Chef enough, and I'm like, oh, just improvise. And then that's why I'm sitting there, you know, pouring syrup on a pork chop like an asshole. So we're going to get a website eventually, and these recipes should be up there.
Yeah, definitely.
And so that we'll get to that.
I mean, we talked about burgers last week, steak the week before. We'll have a Boogie Monster cookbook.
We should. I'm telling you, man, somebody out there in television country, just listen. Ghost shows are boring and cheesy. Food shows are boring and cheesy. You let us go out there. We're cooking this food in a haunted place. I think it'd be fun.
Oh, so we're cooking in the haunted house.
Maybe.
That's cool.
People are never messing with smells to antagonize these spirits.
Ooh.
What haunted restaurants?
Ooh.
I'm the idea man. You're the one who knows how to execute these recipes. I'm just big picture guy.
Well, yeah. So that's my food tip for the week.
That's a food tip. I mean, these plans, hey, all these plans we're talking about, they're just in the future. Speaking of time travel.
Yes.
How about that? Segway.
That's why you get paid the big bucks.
Sometimes I scare myself with how easy it comes. So this week we want to talk about time travel. And as we started research, we realized there's a lot of science that we are not going to get to, probably.
We could try,
but I'm not going to get when, like, oh, because if the fabric folds on itself. I would literally need someone to physically hold a piece of fabric and explain it, and I still wouldn't get it. I'd just be like, that's how I would just trick somebody into folding my sheets.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can you explain time travel for me again? Use these five dress shirts to explain it.
Where to begin?
I don't know. Well, okay, first off, what I looked at, when you first search for it, there's like, oh, here's these photographs that prove time travel's real. All those pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, here's an old-timey picture of somebody using an iPhone, and they explained easily that it's a horn to hear people. That makes total sense to me.
The hipster in 1941, the picture.
That's what people look like in 1940. Nobody now is dressing. Hipsters aren't dressing like something new. They're dressing like old fucking hipsters. Like, that was the dumbest shit I saw. Like, can you believe? It's like fucking going to a punk concert and like, this guy's dressed like it's 1977. Is he a time travel? No, nobody can think of anything new to do with that look. So that's why they're dressing the same way.
The only photos that are really intriguing in relation to time travel are the ones with like celebrities and their doppelgangers from 100 years ago. Have you seen the Nick Cage one?
Nick Cage vampire
one. I mean,
dude,
the guy looks just like Nicolas Cage.
How?
I mean, he looks just like him.
But how many, like, think of how many people are on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to run out of just as far as the...
I've thought of that.
Two eyes, a nose, and a mouth.
Yeah.
There's only so much.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do with the face. I see people all the time where, like, I can't articulate it. It's like, that guy's got the same look as the other guy I know.
Yeah, genetically. I get any bald guy with a beard. Mm-hmm. Like, now there's some guy at a Mariners game and sitting behind a little girl who was adorably freaking out with a face full of cotton candy. But I can admit the other guy behind him is a fair-haired guy with a big beard and a baseball hat on. And it's like, the beard hides a lot. But there's only so much you can do with this Mr. Potato Head makeup that...
Asian people think I'm Zach Galifianakis.
Man, I got that in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
They all... Just the beard.
Yeah. I was eating at a Thai restaurant a few years ago with our buddy Jared Harris. And we're leaving, and the owner comes up, and he speaks very poor English, so I couldn't quite understand. He kept saying something, and we're like, wait, we thought he thought we were skipping out on the check. And I was like, no, dude, we paid the check, relax. But he was excited, and he just kept saying, hangover. And then Jared goes, hangover? He goes, mm-hmm. Hangover. He's like, he thinks you're Zach Galifianakis. And I went with it. I was like, I'm Zach Galifianakis.
I got that in Korea. Yeah, hangover. That's a beard and round eyes. And it's because then you're hiding the other features of the face. That's what I got, too.
Yeah.
All right. I thought because I was doing shows, I'm like, man, these people are really I don't want to underestimate my fan base. It's really getting out there. That's social media. It pays off because I'm here in Seoul, South Korea. And no, they all thought I was Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Which, lighten up, Asian people.
We don't all look alike.
When we fuck it up, all right? Take a break.
But yeah,
when make that mistake.
That Nick Cage photo, though, I mean, that is creepy. I could see how somebody's imagination would run wild.
Photographs that have, limited capabilities of how crisp and clear they are. So, I think that is going to happen more and more. Mm-hmm. That, talk about that. Just Korea. There's a part where they call it, it's like the Beverly Hills of Seoul. And everybody there gets... Not everybody, but there's so much plastic surgery, and they all get westernization surgeries.
Really?
They get their eyes made, wider.
What do they look like?
Lips fuller. Did you see? There's something online. If you look up, like, Miss South Korea, or contestants for Miss Universe from Miss South Korea or something. And they play them all in a GIF over and over,
mm-hmm.
and they all look exactly the same. I'm not trying to say like racist, like no, because they've clearly all had the same surgery to make the eyes rounder and the lips fuller, and they all whiten their skin. Like they couldn't believe when I was there, I was on the beach reading a book, and they'd walk by and go, "Oh, suntan," because they could like they want to whiten their skin. They don't want their skin to be darker. Not, I'm saying they take it easy if anybody wants to fucking social justice this shit. I'm just saying the going through the surgery and you walk around this area and I'm sure it's the same if somebody goes to Beverly Hills here
mm-hmm.
and you see just blonde women. I see it in porn a lot. We're like, oh yeah, that just blonde fake boobs. Like you just got the package done.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got that.
The dumb lips.
That package.
Who thought that was a good look? The collagen lips. Get out of here. That's disgusting.
I look at plastic surgery the same way. Like, I have tattoos. I can't. If it makes you feel better, what you're doing to your body, then by all means, go for it. I'm sure it does attract a certain type of man out there.
Yeah, douchebag.
My thing, I remember, it just looks like some of them, they get like, they cornered a closeted gay seventh grader. Like, they heard a bully saying, if you like fucking chicks, what do you think is hot? And they're like, like big boobs and big red lips and blonde hair. Oh, that's what's the hottest thing. Yeah, like, they don't know. So they're saying the most obvious thing that would be construed as what a hot woman is. And then that's what women like. Give me what a gay teenager thought a woman should look like when they're about to get the shit beaten out of them in seventh grade. but if you walk out with confidence and that's how you feel better. I mean, I know friends who, like, most of their bodies are tattooed and this and that, and people look at them like they're freaks. It's like, nah, if that's how you want to express yourself, man, it's not hurting me.
Yeah.
I don't have to understand
of
it
course.
To accept it.
I mean, I get the trying to slow the aging process, but just adding a pair of dumb, stupid-looking lips?
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't. All right. It doesn't do anything for me. But we're talking about, like, how people look the same. How about that for, you know, in the future where that surgery will be all much more accessible, so everybody starts looking the same and everybody, like, I can't tell pop stars apart because they're all kind of manufactured the same way, whether plastic surgery or styling. So it's. We're bearded comics. We do look the same.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in plaid shirts, bearded, overweight, stand-up comics in plaid shirts talking about, like, fucking ate stupid stuff. We're doing that now. That's what we're doing now.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But I'm saying, can't outwardly criticize without looking at yourself.
Nah, I know. To each his own.
But, those photographs... I don't think that proves any time travel. I think that all that is eventually there's going to be a couple snowflakes that are the same.
Yeah. Well, okay, time travel in general. Up until recently, I've started doing some research on it maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. I got really into it. Prior to that, I just automatically kind of wrote it off as science fiction. You know, it's an interesting concept, and of course... The move Back to the Future and some of the other movies that reference it, you know, it's a fascinating concept. But it was always like, that's clearly fiction. Like, just, no, you can't do that. Just because I couldn't wrap my mind around how you would actually do that.
The science of it is like, wow, what?
But I started doing
it. I can't believe a couple smart guys like us couldn't understand the science of time travel.
And I still don't... I'm not claiming to understand the actual science, even though we'll talk a little bit about the science of it here in a minute. But the more research I do, I mean, you can't deny that there are just dozens and dozens of stories throughout history to where... again, referencing, like, Bigfoot, the whole, like, are they all wrong? Are they all lying? Yeah. Are they all full of shit? There's a lot of... experiences, a lot of stories that people have, you know, passed on throughout time that, like, well, yeah, that something happened there, unless that guy's just completely full of shit.
Well, and it's what we discussed before, that perhaps aliens are not aliens. They're just future human beings.
Yeah.
With the rate that technology is going, and maybe only at a certain point in the future do they understand the implications of not being... found out, or maybe that's why, you know, military grabs them up right away. Mm-hmm. This can't get out there.
Yeah. Okay, well, should we just dig into it?
I think so.
I don't really know where to begin. I got a couple of bullet points here.
I think we let down the listeners last week by promising a ton. Maybe they've just time traveled to this episode. They've skipped.
So I don't know chronologically what's the best way to get into it, but I'll just throw this out. All right.
I don't think it matters with time travel, Dave, because eventually time travel will be real. And you can dictate your own chronology. I think that made sense.
I'll go with it. did you know, Kyle?
Probably not.
Did you know? you had me at did you know? I do that when people said, hey, have you read that book? No. Is it about wrestling or Bigfoot? No, I ain't read
that. That's my favorite tweet. I'm like, you had me at cheese, cheeseburger, pizza.
Kyle, did you know that Hitler was working on a time machine? The Nazis were trying to develop one.
I'm hard pressed to find a topic we don't talk about that somehow the Nazis weren't involved.
Yeah.
Like at this point, that was such an evil entity that you can put anything like, yeah, Hitler had a time machine, Bigfoot drove it, and they went and they visited Elvis in the future.
Yeah.
And that's why he had the 68 comeback special.
Well, Hitler and the Nazis either developed or were in the process of developing this thing called the Nazi Bell. And in German, they called it Die Glock. Die Glock, which translates to the bell.
Outside of the killing Jews thing,
mm-hmm.
I think of like all these...
I don't mean to laugh these, at that.
No, that's it.
That's just a funny thing to preface.
But think of all the stuff they were supposed... like that had to be like... the neighbors, like the burnout neighbor's garage in the neighborhood that just had the coolest shit on. Like, oh man, is that a Corvette? Is that a Harley? Like, none of it worked, but he just had a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Oh man, is that a Les Paul? Like, that's what a Nazi garage sounds like. Hey, is our time machine? It doesn't work. Here's the thing we used to summon the devil. Here's a couple of spaceships we tried to work on over here. Like, it sounds like they had the coolest shit all over the place, but none of it worked. It was like a dad that could just never finish the project. Like, I just got to go in the garage and tinker, all right?
Oh, man. All
right. It used to be an art studio, and then the whole thing happened.
They developed this thing called Die Glock, which translates into the bell, and more commonly known as the Nazi bell. This thing, all right, I'll try to describe it, and you can Google it and get pictures of it, but it was about a 10 to 12 foot thing, like a machine.
Okay.
And it basically consisted of two parts, two giant cylinders.
All right.
Okay. Made of this extremely heavy metal, just this really rare, extremely heavy metal that produced red mercury. Okay, and the concept was they'd get this machine. Imagine like a, I don't know, like a dreidel or something, but like that has two parts. All right, so it's about a 10 or 12 foot.
They designed
machine.
It after a dreidel.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to articulate the shape of it. And
obey the Jews, but keep their toys. That is how we time travel.
The basic concept.
Great accent.
And again, we're about to get into the science of it that is over my head.
Yeah.
But it was counter-rotating cylinders, okay?
All right.
So they had these counter-rotating cylinders. They'd spin in opposite directions at just enormous rates of speed, and that generated this field of radioactivity, and they think that they got it going so fast that somehow this radioactivity was enough to warp electrogravitational fields, thus creating an opening in time. So that's the most basic way I can articulate their science behind
electro.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
Yeah, and I always think I'm gonna get it. Mm-hmm. Like I always like, no, come on, man, you're not stupid.
Yeah,
but it's just. It's like watching pro athletes. Like, yeah, I'm not like watching the X Games, but I can ride a bike. Nah, man, not like that.
So, and obviously they were trying to develop this thing in there for the purpose of warfare and going back in time and altering history and to their advantage and whatever. But yeah, so they had this thing, the Nazi Bell, and it just rotated. And it got so fast, it did something to the electromagnetic fields, and they thought that it either did or could open
Where's
up.
Where's the red mercury coming? It was just something that was in there?
Yeah, I don't
so
know.
So that's the science part where we both admit that.
Mm-hmm. Now, but of course, they had crazy – again, other than the killing Jews part, like some of those German scientists were some of the most brilliant dudes in the world.
I mean, it's when you have to go like, all right – nutty people have extreme ideas,
mm-hmm.
good or bad. I think my neighbor is vacuuming. I hope you can't hear that. We're in the annex in upstairs neighbor. He's got a hairless cat.
Really? That's cool. I like hairless cats. I like all cats.
He told me like I had to go in there once and like put the toilet bowl up so his cat could drink, and he didn't tell me it was a hairless cat. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, oh.
Yeah.
And it's I never pet a hairless
catch you
cat
off guard.
Before.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's got like a little, you just see it's like crusty little butthole. Like that put me off. I'm like, oh, this thing's adorable. And then it was just white and you just see its dirty ass.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Anyway.
All right,
these same Nazi scientists, some of these guys are the same ones that invented the V2 rocket, the first rocket ever to leave the Earth's atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And they also were some of the same dudes that were working on the first atomic bomb. So, of course, a time machine just sounds unrealistic.
I thought that was America was the first atomic
bomb. No, some of these guys contributed to that. That's a whole other story about how some after the war.
Some of those German scientists
recruited them. But anyway, my point is these guys were working on rockets. They were working on atomic bombs. And, of course, a time machine sounds science fiction and unfathomable. But, again, so does – if you'd have told somebody 100 years ago that we're going to build a rocket that's going to go to the moon.
Well, goes to one of the tenets of this podcast. Like, yeah, we don't know all the science, so why not have an imagination?
Yeah. Okay, and this is where it gets interesting. Okay. When did the war, World War II, end? 1945? I think it was 45, 46, 40.
I think 40.
Right in there.
We're bad.
20 stuff. Years later. Okay, 20 years later. Have you heard of the, where'd it go? What's it called? The
I feel bad.
The Kecksburg, UFO.
What the fuck?
Jeez, everything, is that the cat?
Honestly, it may change sizes. It looks like a thing that could become, like, morph into a different animal.
All right, 20 years after the war, roughly, December 1965, this weird flying bell-shaped object was seen by thousands of people coming from the Michigan-Canada border.
All right.
That's where it was first spotted, and it flew all over Michigan and over Ohio and then eventually crashed in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
U.S. soldiers immediately arrived on the scene in a flatbed truck, scooped it up, put it on the truck, drove it away, told the witnesses on the scene, shut your mouth, you didn't see anything about this. And people speculate that they took it to the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. All right, point being, a lot of the eyewitnesses, after the fact, after some research was done, they think that this Kecksburg UFO that crashed, they say it looked just like Dick Locke, the Nazi bell 20 years earlier. So there's speculation that they got that thing to work, and then 20 years later, it came crashing out of the sky in America.
This is where I'm going to put a whole – all these just Ohioans happen to have in their database of knowledge
– good point.
What a hidden Nazi time machine was look like.
Good point.
Hey, you guys, look at that. Hey, remember 20 years ago? Stuff they probably haven't even showed us yet. The Nazis had a time machine. Doesn't it look just like that?
I think a lot of this was determined after the fact, after some research was done. They analyzing what they saw, and then this thing looks like that thing from 20 years ago. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's one theory that maybe they did get this Dick Locke to work.
Yeah.
And maybe it skipped. It disappeared for 20 years and then fell out of the sky. But something definitely crashed in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, and a lot of people think it looked like that Dick Locke. So anyway, that's one.
Well, the military was following it already to pick it up right away. That's one of those things when they're there right away when it falls out of the sky, like, this is ours.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's Hitler's contribution to time travel.
Yeah.
So, and there's many other stories. You want me to get into another one? This is an interesting one.
Hitler is like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon for all unexplained phenomena. You can always get back to Hitler somehow.
Okay, now this next story is really interesting. All right. December 26, 1980, Bentwaters Air Force Base in the UK. It's a U.S. Air Force Base stationed in the UK. Security personnel detected on their radars that there was some sort of craft that may have crashed a few miles away. So the Air Force Base sends out two guys, Jim Peniston, and it's spelled Peniston, which is pretty funny, Jim Peniston and John Burroughs. There were these two U.S. airmen. They went out to investigate, and they discovered a large triangular aircraft on the ground. Okay. They didn't know if it had technically crashed or whatever, but it was a grounded, triangular, unknown aircraft. All right, and both these guys are still alive, and they've done interviews, and their stories, they'll tell you about it. All right, Peniston walks up, and he touches the aircraft with his hand. And his account is when he touched this aircraft, his body froze. It, like, literally froze him, stunned him, shocked him, froze him.
Okay. All
he was paralyzed for a few minutes, and during this time, and this is his story, that somehow this aircraft beamed a series of codes into his brain telepathically. That he's frozen for a minute or two. He's conscious, but he's paralyzed. And this series of binary codes are beamed into his brain.
Yeah.
Okay. He then, later, after the fact, wrote... this is where I do kind of question. He somehow remembered all of that code and wrote it down in a notebook.
In the binary code order. It's 0 and 1.
Yeah, it's 0 and 1. So, yeah, you know, how he remembered which order they all came in. But anyway, so after that, he scribbled down the codes that was beamed into his brain and then deciphered them. And this is what he deciphered. These codes, this is what it said. Exploration.
For Ovaltine.
Crummy commercial. Exploration of humanity was one sentence.
Yeah.
Then it had a couple of latitude and longitude, sequence of the coordinates there of latitude and longitude, and I'll tell you what they were in a minute. Then the next sentence was for planetary advance. And then the last thing, the little postscript, it said date of origin 8100. So that's the binary code that was beamed into his brain. The latitude and longitude, I don't have the exact coordinates, but they line up with this forgotten island off the coast of Ireland called High Brazil. It's kind of this lost, abandoned little island off of Ireland called High Brazil. And apparently there's some folklore and mythology about this island, High Brazil, to where maybe an ancient advanced civilization used to occupy this island. And I think today even there's still some weird architecture there, and there's all this mythology about just this weird advanced society of people that lived on this island. So the speculation being, you know, these time travelers from 8100 may have set up shop there in High Brazil.
Well, and that's going back to it being humans. I always wonder, you know, the golden record that was shot out on, again, facts that escape me. I wish I remembered things, but I think it was on the Apollo satellites. God damn it. Something we shot into space. And they put a placard on it to explain, trying to explain what Earth is. Male shape and a human shape, and then the golden record on it, which explains it. Hello in every different language.
Yes.
And so it almost seems like that's kind of how what's being communicated to this guy by touching it, just through a different, what did it say again? What were the things he thought it said?
All right. Exploration of humanity. Then it had the latitude and longitude coordinates. Then the next thing was for planetary advance, and then the last thing was date of origin, 8100.
Yeah. But then that's even saying, like, who knows what that date is, if that's on a timeline. Almost, because I'm thinking, like, if you're thinking aliens, like, they don't have the Christian, like, there's no guaranteeing they are using the Christian year to dictate what time.
Well, I think that's the point.
They're even using the idea of time.
I think that's the point, that they're not aliens, that they're Earthlings from 6,000 years in the future.
And that binary code is still the, hopefully, the one language that can be deciphered amongst whatever language and land.
The other interesting story about that night. Go ahead.
I don't have anything else.
His partner, John Burroughs, like I said, they both went out to investigate this thing.
Yes.
Jim Peniston is the one who touched it and had the code beamed into his brain.
John Burroughs went on to produce Cheers.
John Burroughs,
his brothers.
He claims that he never saw Peniston touch the thing, and he never saw the thing fly. Or no, he never saw him touch the thing. He just arrived and then saw it fly away. But then when they got back to the Air Force base that night, apparently everybody at that Air Force base, all the soldiers had identical wristwatches, and they were all synchronized perfectly to the second.
Yeah.
So obviously everybody would be on the same page. By the way, a lot of people don't understand military time. What's the 2100? That way, that way, if you're going to bomb somebody, there's absolutely no mistaking AM or PM.
You meant PM?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I'm always amazed that people can't figure that out. But anyway, Jim and John's wristwatches originally were synchronized to the second. When they got back to the Air Force Base, they were 45 minutes off.
Both of theirs.
Peniston's was 45 minutes behind Burroughs. So they think that Peniston experienced some sort of time loop. So they can't explain that, that somehow that their wristwatches were no longer synced.
Like, is that where... I mean, people talk about deja vu and what causes that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get
that's a whole other episode.
Is that like a scratched record thing of going through life and all of a sudden, bloop, just blip back into another part that you've experienced already?
Man, deja vu is fascinating.
It's a very convincing feeling you can have. And I'll have it. One dopey buddy I used to hang out with was like, man, I've been getting deja vu like all the time lately. It's like, it's just because you keep doing the same shit and you're dumb. But where you have it where it's not just... Have you ever had it where it's not even just a moment? It's like 20 minutes of sitting there going, I've definitely done all this before.
Yeah.
But you can't predict what's going to happen. But when something happens, like, yep, that was what was supposed to happen.
Yeah. So...
That, okay.
So how do you explain that? And again, these aren't some backwoods hillbillies in a trailer park high on meth who think they saw the Bigfoot. That's the thing. Everybody thinks that anybody who's ever seen Bigfoot or UFO is just some idiot who doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, these are United States airmen. You would think that you know, they're intelligent, valid, credible dudes. I mean,
normally, but the thing is with military people when they come out, I think that is more believable because there's more of a risk of being left out. And you know, being embarrassed by other military people by saying, "Oh, it's kook and stuff."
Yeah.
But there's proof that the military's MK Ultra and all these experiments that they've done. So why wouldn't, just like the Nazis, why wouldn't all this stuff be tied back to somehow trying to militarize it, somehow trying to make it a weapon?
Yeah.
My thing with time travel, I feel like anybody, if it did exist, that ethically you would have to realize that going back could ruin things.
Okay, yeah, that's
a very back to the future type thing.
The butterfly effect and all that.
Yeah, so ethically you couldn't go back and do it. I think maybe time travel can exist, but only forward.
Okay.
Like, we can't go back in time. Like, that maybe doesn't exist, to go back to a previous time and visit people who are still alive. But you can skip ahead. Like, you can skip over what's coming up. You know, it's almost like a, I don't know, say like a tape or something. That as our lives, as our time frame is this piece of tape continuing, like an audio tape, it disintegrates once it passes the little pad that says play.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we're at right now. So everything that's passed, it's disintegrated. That isn't there anymore. But you can skip ahead on the tape.
Uh-huh.
You can somehow move forward. I think maybe that's the possibility. And also, that would explain why, okay, nobody's come back and visited us or anything, but maybe they have sent people off into the future that are just out there now going, well, shit, all right.
I mean, based on that logic, though, who's to say that they could come back, but since they are coming back, their history has already happened, therefore there's no threat of altering it? Like, if a dude from the year 8000 comes back here, if he started in the year 8000, then obviously...
But somebody from 8000 comes back with the, like, iPhone 1006 that just came out and says, look what can happen in the future, and then people see that, and military people now see it, and they're like, oh, give us that, and we figure out how to militarize the new iPhone that came out in the year 8000.
Yeah.
That's why. That's why. Like, that's the ethical part. Like,
okay.
If you came back it could just destroy humanity in the most paranoid sense of it.
Yeah.
Or if there's some sort of protocol put into place that the only way you can go back, it's like some like not it would be easily be like but like doctors like do no harm. Maybe time travelers are a special division of the military that can only be like, you only go back to advanced civilization if it gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You can only go back, and then that's when you drop off some piece of technology or something that can be like, all right, plant a seed. The world will do what it will with that seed, but it needs to get unstuck. Maybe that's how all technological advancements
have. Yeah.
I mean, but that's the weird time travel loop then. Well, if they didn't, how would they get to that if they didn't? How would you invent time travel if somebody from the future didn't come back and tell you how to invent time travel?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
As
we're not smart enough for this, Dave.
What? As a real basic...
Ghosts are fun because it's like, spooky, wow. But this, we're not bright.
To boil it down in its simplest
teach them how to make eggs again, Dave. That one, you came out looking real sharp on that.
Think of it this way, all right? And this may be naive, but we're sitting here in the year, 2016.
Yeah.
Trying to wrap our heads around the concept of time travel, okay? Yeah. What if in the year 8100... time travel is like just old hat. Just, oh, yeah, everybody can do that, idiot. You know, maybe their technology 6,000 years from now, and one would think possibly, is just so advanced from where it is now that, yeah, we're operating in 2016 based on what we know to be true and our experiences of mankind. And like, well, we've never done that, and how would you do that? But maybe 6,000 years from now, I'm like, oh, yeah, we figured that shit out 4,000 years ago.
But that's how I feel about, like, that's the explanation for all this stuff lies in the future. Because but of all those concepts, time travel is the one thing that could... And this is all informed by the Terminator and Back to the Future, but that is the one thing that could, if fucked with, can destroy it. Like, we could have never predicted iPhones, but
exactly,
the iPhone is a horrible example of the future we live in now. But that's not gonna.
Speaking of Back to the Future real quick.
If somebody just told you what was going to happen in the future, but never showed you and that's it, you'd be like, wow, okay, you're either a nut or that's going to be cool when we get to it. But if somebody came back from then with the technology now and altered the course of how we got to that technology, it is Back to the Future. It is. Like, you can't go back and fuck your mom. Like, that will ruin things. That's the... That is a pretty, to me, in my simple mind, is a fail-safe argument of why you can't go back in time and alter things. Like, basically, he went back and screwed up his parents' marriage, and then he would never exist. And then if he never existed, then, that's what would happen. You'd go back and fuck with things that would never exist. If you went back in time and killed baby Hitler, then what if World War II never happened? Well, would we have the same advancements that we have in technology? War always pushes technology forward. It always pushes it forward. So would we have never had that without war? We're not pushing technology forward. Maybe they're coming back making more wars because it's the only way to get to the technology in the future. But if they know that, they wouldn't have to come back and fuck with it because they got there already.
Yeah.
Like, up until the point before time travel exists, they got there without time travel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Up until the day we're like, oh, we figured out time travel. So if they go back and alter anything at all in the past, they might not never get to that point, and they would cease to exist. But maybe that's the new astronaut in the future, or time travelers going, yeah, I'm going to risk my life. I'll probably never come back, like the Mars missions they're talking about. Like, yeah. I'm probably not coming back, but we need somebody to go back and tinker with it.
I mean,
that all made sense in my head. Yeah, I don't know if it came out.
The whole concept is so trippy that it's really hard to grasp mentally, especially when you're working with what we're working with.
Yeah.
Mentally.
You'd think between the two of us we could have figured it out.
Mm. All right, I got another story for you.
Okay.
You ever heard of Sir Victor Goddard?
Sounds like a poet.
It's a good one.
Okay.
All right. Sir Victor Goddard, he was a senior commander in the Royal Air Force during WW2. All right. He flew planes, decorated.
Decorated planes?
Decorated pilot. Yeah, he decorated planes. All right. 1935, Mr. Goddard is flying from Andover, England to Edinburgh, Scotland. He passes over a dilapidated airfield near Drem, Scotland. Is it Drem or Drem? D-R-E-M. Drem, Scotland.
I don't know what they're doing out there.
He's flying his plane. He passes over this dilapidated airfield in Drem, Scotland, looks down, notices that it's just dilapidated. It's out of date. It's not functional. It's grown over with foliage. There's cattle everywhere. But he can tell, oh, yeah, 20, 30 years ago, that used to be an airfield.
Okay.
All right. So he goes to Scotland. A few days later, he's going to return to Andover, England. He takes the exact same route that he took to get there, and he passes. He's starting to approach Drem, Scotland again.
Yeah.
And he gets caught in this violent storm, just crazy torrential downpours, wind, turbulence, and notices that all the clouds are this really bizarre golden yellow. He's never experienced these golden yellow clouds before. And in the middle of this, he loses control of his plane, and he starts to go down, and he damn near crashes his plane. Well, kind of last second, he regains control, and these yellow clouds, they part, and then now automatically, it's good weather again. He's back to normal weather. He looks down, and he's over that same airfield, except this time, it's functioning. He looks down. He notices that it's the same airfield that he saw a few days earlier, but it's occupied. There's mechanics down there. There's four airplanes. Yeah. It looks brand new. 3 or 4 days ago, it looked like an old dilapidated airfield. Now he notices it looks brand new, and there's four airplanes there, one of which he couldn't identify. He had no idea what type of airplane that was. And he noticed that the mechanics down there on the ground working on these planes, they were wearing blue overalls. All right, and the significance of that is, at the time, all the mechanics in the Royal Air Force, they wore standard-issue brown overalls.
They ain't even invented the color blue yet.
Exactly. But he knew that, you know, at the time, all the mechanics in the Royal Air Force wore brown overalls, but he notices these guys down here working on with blue overalls, working on these brand-new planes, one of which he had no idea, couldn't identify, and this is a decorated pilot. All right, he lands the plane. He tells his buddies back at the Air Force base what he saw. They all think he's crazy. All right, again, this is 1935. 4 years later, 1939, the Royal Air Force, they begin – oh, by the way, the planes he saw were all yellow, okay? The four planes he saw were all yellow, which was not the norm at the time. 4 years later, 1939, Royal Air Force then begins to paint all their planes yellow and – the mechanics switch over to blue overalls. So he feels that he somehow was in a time slip and went into the future at least 4 years, if not more.
It couldn't just be like that was the first place they tried doing that?
I mean, obviously there could be many explanations, but one, how do you explain the fact that it's the same Air Force, the same airfield that he saw a few days earlier, and now it's functioning and it's brand new and there's no overgrown foliage. The cows are gone and there's planes and dudes and mechanics down there.
Well, 1935, what was that still World War II for Great Britain? Were they involved in it at that point?
I don't think so. I don't think it started
until. We're going to have to get smarter.
I think
we start talking about history.
39 or 40, I think, is when that started.
So it wasn't some sort of case where, you know, they would hide bases and stuff and camouflage them. And in this particular case, it was. I got to poke holes in it, but.
And again, this is a credible dude. This isn't some Yahoo on peyote.
I think anybody who was flying airplanes in 1935 was a bit of a Yahoo.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that did. That would have taken some balls back then.
So yellow planes.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to see it. That British way of doing it. Well, they should see us. Oh, tear that backfired. I think I think the implications, like that. Now that's not even time travel. Well, it is. It's like accidental time travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like that's where the science of like some tear in the fabric. It's always the fabric. They always use the fabric metaphor, and I try to understand it, and I just, I think this one's got too much science.
Yeah.
What era of time would you travel to?
That's a great question that everybody asks. And that's the old hack comedian premise. Go back, kill Hitler.
You wouldn't have time travel. What if that's true and the Nazis invented time travel and then you'd want to go back and kill him, but that was his guarantee and he's still alive today? And he's like, yeah, I'm still Hitler. You didn't get me. And you want to go back and kill me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you won't have time travel. So fucking insurance plan.
Man, I'd like to go back to like early man. I think that'd be fascinating.
Yeah?
Just like how many, what's that, 500-600 years ago?
You just go on a hike and eat some ribs. I mean, I don't know what. You can kind of replicate these feelings. Dinosaurs, I bet. Dinosaurs. Well, that's another subject we can get to. Is still. I feel like. I'm sure. If you're going to believe in Bigfoot, why not believe some other giant reptiles can exist out in
absolutely
the undocumented rainforest? You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've always loved natural history, like the concept of. And this is why I like going hiking sometimes and going way out into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. I like the concept of looking at a mountain or looking at a lake or whatever, and knowing that it's a million years ago, this looked the exact same for the most part, give or take a few trees.
Go see, just seeing the redwoods and sequoias and knowing like the trees can be 600 years old. A tree.
Yeah.
Something you take crazy for granted in a city where like, oh, they cut down that tree. That's 600 years old. That tree was there when I was a little kid. It was a sapling. 600-year-old trees.
Yeah.
I feel the exact same way. If you drive out towards the Vasquez Rocks off the 5, that's where they shoot like Star Trek. It's the big, they come out diagonally at like a 45-degree angle out of the ground.
Where? Up north on the 5?
It's up north on the 5.
How far up?
It's not far. It's not far. It's like if you get by Panorama City or something like Simi Valley.
Oh, that close.
It's like Simi Valley, yes. Maybe 45 minutes, an hour out of town. But that's that. You can clearly see why they used that as a movie setting, because it looks like, oh, this is the Land Before Time type shit.
Yeah.
This is jagged rocks coming out from when the Earth's crust shifted and pushed them out. I agree entirely. It's nice to be able to see, meditate on the fact.
Yeah, with all the sprawl and all the technology, just the modernization now with development and stuff, like it's nice to look at something that probably hasn't changed
and realize how minuscule you and your problems are.
Yeah,
by going, I'm going to go away. I'm going to feed some worms. And this will look like this, hopefully.
Yeah.
In another 2,000 years,
where would you go? When would you go?
Oh man, I'm so self centered. I still think like 1993 was real fun. Like I would just go back and do the same stuff.
Go back to high school and hook up with chicks.
It was like imagination doesn't even allow me. Like what about all this? Clearly, I don't know my dates in history, and this would be a wonderful time to experience. Like I was pretty having a lot of fun in 1993 with a little bit of knowledge now. I'd be like, yeah, I go. I have more fun. I wouldn't be so scared of getting laid. I'd be like, yeah, you can do that. It's all right, man. Jesus ain't going to hurt you. Go on and have some sex in high school, buddy. Jesus ain't going to hurt you.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man.
It's crazy, man. It's fascinating. There's so many other stories.
This might be a subject to revisit.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we could do 10 episodes on this.
Third episode. I don't know if last week's counts because we really... We beefed that one.
I mean, let me just throw out a couple things. I won't go into great detail about them, but if people want to research this stuff themselves, the Chinese Swiss watch. I'm totally speaking out of my ass right now because I don't remember the facts, but I just know that this is a thing.
It's my birthday. She gave me the Chinese swish. Fucking that.
Yeah, and I apologize.
Apart.
You look it up. But short story. They unearthed they opened a tomb, some Chinese tomb.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be from like whatever the early Chinese civilization that era was. What is that? The Ming Dynasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ming Dynasty.
Don't look at me like they opened for the tomb. Confirmation.
They opened a tomb, and they were pretty certain, these archaeologists were pretty certain that they were the first ones to open this tomb
yeah.
in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They found a tiny little wristwatch, little miniature. It looked like a ring that you could put on your finger, yeah. but it was technically a watch. And they were like, what the hell's this thing? So that's something interesting. There's this guy named
The short versions of these stories yeah. are great.
Yeah.
And they were like, what the hell is this thing?
Yeah, they were anyway, like, yeah, it's not my watch.
So another time a guy went into a Panda Express, but they were serving cheese. You don't get cheese on Chinese food.
There's a guy named Rudolph Fence, F-E-N-Z.
Old Rudy Fence.
Late 1800s, he went missing.
Yeah.
I think he was about 30 years old. Just went missing, late 1800s. In 1951, in Times Square in Manhattan, some poor dude walks out in front of traffic, gets hit by a car, gets killed. The cops show up and start digging through his pockets, and they find all this, all these artifacts and weird little mementos from 70, 80 years ago.
Yeah.
Weird little tokens, past like personal effects, like some sort of ID. And they're pretty sure that it's this Rudolph Fence guy. They did some research and figured out, like, oh, wait, this Rudolph Fence guy, whoever this guy is, he went missing 70 years ago. But the guy who got hit and killed in 1951 wasn't a 90-year-old dude. He was like a 30, 40-year-old dude.
And he just had the effects of that guy on him.
They think maybe that dude was a time traveler. Oh, this is interesting. I don't have enough time to talk about this. It's a guy named Andrew Basiago. He's an attorney out of Seattle, Washington, up in that area. Still not clear. He was involved in the Pegasus Project, which is the thing, again, real minimal facts here. Look him up, all right? That's what I'm saying. Look up Andrew Basiago.
Maybe talk about this stuff on the next time travel.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go into great detail. But this dude claims to be a time traveler. He's part of some government project. Says he's been to Mars. Says he time traveled 1 million years ago. Claims he was in a photograph taken at the Gettysburg Address.
This guy sounds like kind of a...
And he was running for president this year. So look up Andrew Basiago.
This guy kind of sounds like...
I mean, there's just...
Sounds like Forrest Gump.
Case after case after
time
case.
Time traveling Forrest yeah. Gump.
He's Zelig. Man, there's so... And then earlier we were talking about the photos and stuff, and most of those photographs can be easily debunked, but there are a few.
Yeah.
For example, 1992, Mike Tyson's having a big fight. 92 or maybe it's 95. 95.
Oh, you're telling me about this one
yeah,
before.
I forgot who he was. Peter McNeely, the white dude. I think it was the first fight Tyson had after he got out of prison. He fought this goofy white dude from New Jersey, Peter McNeely, and McNeely just beat the shit out of him in like 30 seconds. But yeah. Anyway, there's a snapshot, there's a photograph of that fight, and like in the third or fourth row, there's a guy holding up what looks like a modern-day iPhone, or at the very least, some sort of camera phone.
Okay, I remember seeing that. And this was in 95.
Years before there was any cell phone that could take a picture, I'm pretty sure.
And, was it?
I think so. Cell phones were barely available back then. And when I was in high school, people had mobile phones, but they were in a bag. They had like a little tote bag.
But 95. Because
it had the battery. But it looks like a modern day iPhone.
Yeah.
And the guy's holding up, taking a picture. It's like in third or fourth row. You can look that up. And so, you know, that's, again, it could be a pack of cigarettes for all we know, but it kind of looks like an iPhone.
I'll visit that one. Mm-hmm. I think we might have another episode here.
Mm-hmm.
We might have.
Oh, definitely.
I think we should wrap it up now.
Yeah.
Figuring that this is going to come out on the 20th.
There you go.
Oh, had to have at least one in there.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be in the midst of your tour on the 20th.
Yeah.
You'll be in the middle. So catch Dave on the road there. Dates at
DaveStoneStandup.com. Yeah.
And just harass him or what have you. I'll be at the that upcoming weekend, or the October 1st, I'll be at Ram's Head Live in Baltimore, and October 2nd, I'll be at the Trocadero in Philadelphia.
When's your rock and roll tour start?
That's coming out. I'm going out with the Falcons starting on the 20th. This fucking phone didn't update. It should be in there. That's it. That's in November. That's coming out.
Cool.
In November. And then, yeah, hit us up. Thanks for letting us know and stuff. And, oh, yeah, Comedian of the Week.
Yeah, yeah. Comic of the Week this week. One of my favorite comedians.
Dave's performed with him last night and the night before. Dave Waite.
Dave Waite.
W-A-I-T-E.
Yes, look him up. He's got at least two albums, maybe more. Pretty sure one of them's called Hot Doggin'. I think he's got one called Kaboom.
That's believable because I think he just said both those things apropos of nothing on stage. It's he's like so you're funny. Not watch. It's like somebody wandered on stage that you're so happy because you've just been watching a comedy show and you're sick of comedy. But
yeah.
This guy's not a comedian. He's up there like, what?
Hey, all wait, right. What y'all doing?
Yeah. Man, well, how'd you guys get here?
Y'all want to listen to me talk? All right.
Yeah, he's like always seems real surprised that he's been put on stage, but then is immediately like, all right, yeah, I guess we'll all get into this then.
Dave is great. He's been trucking along for years now. I think he started in Cincinnati. He's one of those Cincinnati guys. They produced a bunch of great comics in that area. The Dayton, Ohio / Cincinnati, Ohio. My buddy Ryan Singer's from there.
Singer, Jeff Tate.
Jeff Tate, Dave Waite, Josh Sneed.
Rhea Butcher.
Yeah, so many folks out of that scene. And normally I wouldn't do somebody's joke, but this is a really old joke, and I know he wouldn't mind me spoiling it. I gotta do his joke.
You're giving him credit. You're giving him a taste. You're giving him a sample platter.
Yeah, I don't want to. Usually you don't want to spoil it in case somebody goes to see him and they're like,
"What joke?"
What literally top 10 favorite jokes of all time? Dave Waite. All right, I'll do it. I can't mimic him too well.
You do it. Go.
Because watching Maury Povich the other day, they're like, "Is it a guy or is it a gal?" I'm like, "Who cares? These chicks are hot." One of the funniest jokes I've ever heard. I love well done dumb.
And if you know Dave Waite, how that comes out is just so like,
who cares? These chicks are hot.
He's really just delighted to be alive, it seems like.
Yeah, and he's in the middle of some new revitalization project. He's trying to,
I don't know.
Yeah, he's on Twitter and stuff. It's the year of Dave. He's trying to improve his life. Hey, what should I do this week? Stop eating meat or stop jacking off? I don't know. Help me out. What do you think? I mean, just always throwing like little questions out there of how he should improve his life. But what a jolly dude. So look up Dave Waite.
He's a road dog too, so he's probably coming through somewhere.
Yeah, he's always out
go
there.
Go find old Dave Waite on the comedy circuit. All right. Well, that was good. I hope if the listeners were upset with last week's Speaking of Witch episode. I had fun.
Yeah. We definitely got to revisit this. And let's make that clear. Like, just because we do one episode on this topic, I mean, a lot more to get into.
We're not nothing about this should ever seem professional. Because so that's only putting expectations out there of like, I can't believe this one dipped in quality.
Yeah.
Always set the bar low and then let people be pleasantly surprised. I've staked my career on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then hit us up on all the medias.
Uh-huh.
And again, you know, if we haven't responded or anything yet, don't worry. We're reading them and we appreciate it. And all right, that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Awesome. See you later.
The Boogie Monster. Bye.